stick. So we're continuing our series. The first week I spoke about Joshua, and last week spoke about David. And this week we're actually going to be continuing our series. It's called Fearless, Finding Courage in God. Can you say fearless? Say finding courage in God. In God. Very good. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me real quick to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I forgot my printout, so I'm actually reading off of my phone today, so just bear with me. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 18. I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. He was the son of Jeroam, the son of Elihud, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah." He had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. "Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, who was Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year after year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better for you than 10 sons?' So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting at the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.' And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, and therefore Eli thought that she was drunk. So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord.'" Have you ever poured out your soul before the Lord before? You're just laying it all out. "I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." And then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Lord, I pray that as we just continue in the series, that you will encourage us and that you will strengthen us with your Spirit, Father. I pray for, maybe there are some people here this morning that are needing to find courage in you, and they have a Peninnah in their life who has been provoking them and provoking them severely, or maybe the enemy has been attacking them. And God, I just pray that they'll find courage in your word this morning, and I pray that your word will speak to us and minister to us, and I pray that you will be exalted and magnified and glorified, God. We just ask these things in your holy name, amen. So I'm not sure if you've heard of this story before, but it's a story of really three different characters. In fact, it's a story about a man with two wives. God bless him. Two wives. And his name is Elkanah, and his two wives are Hannah and Penina. So three characters. Elkanah, Hannah, and Penina. If you look at the text, you can see that Penina had lots of children. She was a good homeschool mother. She had lots of children. God bless her. In fact, at the text, it says that she had sons and daughters. And so we know that she was fruitful and she had kids. Hannah, in contrast, didn't have any children. In fact, in the text, it says that she was barren, and this was something that she desired in her heart to have. And I don't know if you guys know, but children are a blessing, amen? A huge blessing. And I can remember when our kids were born, and it was crazy to see them be birthed, and it's been wild watching them every step of the way. And man, kids are such a huge blessing. And children are a way that we pass on our legacy. They're a way that we pass on our values, our genetic. Like, children are a huge blessing from the Lord. But in biblical times, having no children, being barren, was a disgrace culturally. It created an environment of an internal and external shame. In fact, even if you look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, it connects obedience with blessing and a fertile womb. And so it's interesting. So she didn't have kids. It was considered almost like a curse. And so people would look at her and they would wonder what type of disobedience was she in because she didn't have kids. And so she was upset because she didn't have a legacy to pass on. She didn't have kids to bless, and she was barren. And her husband, Elkanah, would go to the temple yearly in Shiloh, and he would present sacrifices to God. And he would go there and he would give a portion of his blessing, a portion of the sacrifice to Penina. But then he would give a double portion to Elkanah, which you kind of wonder why he would do that, because she was barren and unfruitful. She hadn't carried a child for 9 months. She hadn't experienced the pain of childbirth. Maybe she'd never fed a baby or changed a diaper or whatever they had back then. She hadn't gotten up in the middle of the night with a baby. I mean, parents know what a blessing children are, but also parents know how much work a child can be. Penina was the one who had gone through the pain of childbirth, but Hannah was the one who had gotten the double portion. He loved Hannah even though she was barren. And really, when you think about it, she almost had a double curse. Like, first of all, she was cursed because she didn't have any children, but second of all, she was cursed because in verse 5, and well, first she was barren, but then second of all, she had Penina. It was like almost a double curse. So first of all, she didn't have kids, but second of all, she had Penina who was there and was provoking her severely. You can look at it in verse 5. You can look at it in verse 6. And what's interesting is, in verse 5 and 7, it says that the Lord was the one who closed her womb. I don't know if you've thought about this before. Maybe you've read the story before. I was thinking about it, and everything that happened up to this moment in her life was kind of outside of her control. You know, and in fact, when I look at Hannah and I look at the text, I don't really see a spot where she did anything wrong, you know? I mean, it's not like, and even her response to Penina, I mean, she was upset and she was weeping and she stopped eating, but I don't see where she acted ungodly. I don't see where she lashed out at Penina. I don't see where she blamed anyone else for her situation. I don't see where she lied to anyone. I don't see where she cheated or got into a fight with anyone. I don't see where she really had done anything wrong. You know, sometimes you You come across people and they're riding in the wake of their own poor decisions. Have you ever met someone like that? It's like they're just riding in the wake of their wild decisions. You know, they've made some bad choices. You know, you were speeding down the road. You were going 20 miles above the speed limit. And you got pulled over and you got a ticket. And you're riding in the wake of your own decisions. Or, you know, I've met people, you know, at work who they just come into the bank angry. Have you ever met someone like that? They just come in angry and they start yelling at you right away. And you're like, I don't even know what I did. I don't even know where I'm going. I had one guy come up to me and he said he wanted $20,000. I said, well, that's fantastic. And so I asked him some questions. He's like, you don't need to know that. I'm like, okay, sure. Well, let's take an application. So we took an application and it came back and his credit score was like a 450. And I said, well, I said, it doesn't look like you're going to get the loan. And he got up and he wanted to fight with me. I'm like, okay, you know, he was riding in the wake of his own poor decisions, you know? I don't know if you've met someone like that. Maybe you're someone like that yourself, that you just make bad decisions, or you like conflict. Have you ever met someone who likes conflict before, where they just, man. But when I look at Hannah, I don't see a spot where, man, I don't see a spot where she lashed out. I don't see a spot where she blamed anyone for her situation. I don't see a spot where she lied. I don't see a spot where she cheated. I don't see a spot where she was speeding in her vehicle. I don't see a spot where she had gotten into any sort of fighting. I don't see that she did anything wrong, you know? In fact, it kind of looks like everything is completely outside of her control. The Lord had closed her womb, and her husband's other wife, Penina, was provoking her. Those are two things that what are you going to do about? What can you do about it? And I was thinking about, you know, when I was thinking about this message and thinking about the idea of being fearless and finding courage in God, and I was thinking about her story, I just was kind of wondering to myself if there's anyone out there, maybe here in the pews or maybe listening online, who life has been rough and it's been beyond your control. It's not been anything. Maybe some of you are here and it's like, yeah, like, listen, I have cheated on my taxes. I've, you know, beat my kids. I've shooed my wife off. I shot my dog. Okay, so maybe you're riding in the wake of your own chaotic decisions. But maybe that was a weird mixture of things. But maybe you're here today, and it's like, man, circumstances and life has hit you, and you haven't even necessarily done anything wrong, you know? I have a coworker who a couple weeks ago went home and she found her husband dead on the floor. And it's like, man, she's in sorrow and pain and hurt, but she hasn't even done anything wrong. She's just living in. I'm not sure if I'm talking to anyone today, but I think we can find, maybe if I am talking to you today, I think we can look at Hannah and we can find some principles, we can find some encouragement in what she did. And that could be whether you're someone who likes, maybe you've created some of your own waves, or someone who's not, but but one of the things that I see that she did, which I think is interesting, is that she endured. Can you say she endured? Say it like you mean it. She endured. Are you going to endure this message? Hopefully. Say she endured. She endured. Every time she went to Shiloh, Peninnah would provoke her and mistreat her and make fun of her, and she was weeping and she was crying and she wasn't eating. And you think she's going to the temple, and every time she goes to the temple, she's being provoked. And every time she goes to worship, she's being provoked. And but she kept on going to the temple. She endured. She kept on moving forward. She kept on keeping on. She kept on praying. She kept on pursuing. She kept on moving forward, even though Peninnah was provoking her. Have you ever found out? Have you ever kind of realized that our problems are often attached to people who won't let you forget about it? Have you ever experienced that in your life? Where your problem is attached to people who won't let you forget about it? It's one thing to have a problem. It's one thing to have a failure, but it's another thing when someone keeps calling you a failure, and when someone keeps provoking you, and she's provoking her, and she's not just provoking her once or twice, but she's provoking her again and again. Peninnah's provoking her again and again and again, and she's provoking her severely, and she's going after her severely. And scripture says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Peninnah's just coming at her and coming at her, and she's trying to hinder her from maybe going to the temple. She's trying to hinder her from finding peace and finding joy and being satisfied in who she is. And Peninnah's just coming at her again and again and again. But she endured. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I want to encourage you to endure. I want to encourage you to continue to pursue the Lord. Amen. I want to encourage you to continue to walk the race marked out to you. Like, she endured. And she never stopped having faith in God. She endured, but then she never stopped having faith in God. And scripture, it says that the prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of a righteous person, is both powerful and effective. It says, do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will receive a harvest if you do not give up. She endured, but also she never stopped having faith in God. I wonder how many times she went back to the temple with Elkanah and Peninnah. I wonder how many times she heard Peninnah speak and provoke her and make fun of her and discourage her. I wonder how many times she went after her again and again and again and again. You know, I was thinking about God's timing versus our timing. And I was thinking about how, we don't know how long. It doesn't say in the text how long Hannah was going to the temple and praying, and we don't know how long she was asking God for a child. We don't know how long that was happening. But it's interesting because when I look at scripture, I feel like God's timing is all over the place, isn't it? Have you ever felt that in your own life? It's like you've asked for something, and his timing is not at all what you thought it should be. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I was thinking about, like, the people of Israel who were held in captivity in Egypt, and they were held in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. For 400 years. And they're calling out for a redeemer. They're calling out for help. They're calling out for God to move for 400 years. God finally grabs Moses, and he says, I'm going to use Moses. But then Moses takes things into his own hands, kills an Egyptian, and flees into the wilderness. Now, you'd think maybe God would have used Moses while he was in Egypt and part of, you know, doing what he was doing there and in charge and whatever not. But God waits. So not only did the people wait 360 or whatever, how many years, but then they had to wait another 40 years while Moses was in the back of the wilderness. God's timing is just interesting. But she Man, Hannah just never stopped having faith in God. It might happen, it might not happen as quickly as we want it. It might not be the timing that we like, but she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she kept coming back again and again and again and again. Take a look at it. It says, as it happened in verse 12, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long have you been drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She endured. She never stopped having faith in God. And also, if you look at that closely, Eli thought she was drinking, and she was like, you know, I haven't been drinking. I'm just in sorrow. Like when I was looking at that, I'm thinking, man, she didn't use the excuse of her circumstances to delve into her devices. Like, you know, you think about someone that maybe things have been rough and things have been tough, and maybe it would have been easy for her to go to drinking wine, or to go to things that would dull the pain, or go to things that would help with the sorrow. But she didn't use her circumstances to delve into her devices. She didn't say, I'm going to go back to my old friends. I'm going to go back to my old habits. I'm going to go back to the same things that brought hurt and destruction before. You know, I think sometimes when we go through difficult times, especially when it's hard to rationalize, a lot of times we think that it's okay to go back to the things that we did before. Have you ever experienced that before? We go back to the things that caused us hurt. We go back to the things, our old habits, our old friends. But I believe hardship isn't a free pass for us to sin. She didn't use her excuses. She didn't use the excuse of her circumstances to delve into her devices. And she continued to pray before the Lord. Verse 10, she prayed before the Lord and she wept in anguish. And in verse 12, it says, and she continued to pray before the Lord, and Eli watched her mouth. I don't think that this was a simple prayer or a half-hearted prayer. This wasn't a prayer like, God bless this food. It wasn't a prayer like, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It wasn't a simple prayer, but this was a prayer made in the deep anguish and in the bitterness of her soul. She poured herself out before the Lord. What does it say? It says, yeah, she poured herself, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I don't know if you've had a poured out moment before, where it's just like you've kind of reached the end of your rope. You've experienced, you feel like it's the very bottom of the barrel. Have you ever been there before? Where it's just like, man, I remember moving to Michigan 14 years ago, and I felt like I had nothing left to give. I felt like I was at the very bottom of the barrel. I was without a job, and I was living with my mother-in-law, and I was my father-in-law at the time, and I was driving a minivan, and I'm like, man, I have nothing left to give. The things that I thought the Lord had in store for me, I feel like they had gone, they had vanished, and I felt like I didn't know where I was going, I didn't know what I was doing, I feel like I was just doing nothing, and my son Bennett was 2, 3, something like that. And I remember praying before the Lord, and I remember I was so depressed, I even bought a book called Failing, because I felt like I was a failure, and I'm like, I need to be encouraged, and it was called Failing Forward by John Maxwell. It was an encouraging book. But I can remember going before the Lord, and at first I was trying to be proper in my prayer, you know, dear Lord, beloved Lord, I come to thee, and I ask thee to beseech your son on behalf of what's happening. And And the more I prayed, the more I realized that the Lord knows how I feel anyways. And I began just pouring my heart before the Lord, just letting him know exactly how I felt, exactly how my heart felt, exactly how my sorrows were encompassing me, how I felt lost and how I felt without direction. And I don't know, when I think of Hannah and I think of this prayer, I kind of feel like, man, she was just at the end of herself. She realized that everything was outside of her control. So she was just pouring her heart out to God. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel like Hannah in the sense of you've experienced some bitterness and you've experienced some pain. Some of the bitterness and pain might be totally outside of your control. But one thing that I do see in Scripture again and again and again is that God responds to the desperation of his people. God responds to the desperation of his people. Our prayers are it's like a direct link, a direct connection to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a way that we can get into the Holy of Holies. It's a way that we can petition our Father in heaven. Man, God hears our prayers, you know? I was saying before, you think sometimes this magnificent God who has created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, I think, man, he's probably out there painting a sunset. He's probably out there riding a flying, shooting star. He's probably out there, you know, taking care of some big things in the world. You know, you think about all the things that are happening right now in the world. Pray for Israel, amen. All the things that are happening right now in the world and all the wars and all the people being slaughtered and killed and all the diseases and all the things that are happening. But God hears our prayers. God hears your prayers. There's not a prayer that's too small. There's not a prayer that's too big for our God. And he is involved in the details of our lives. And God sees your dilemma. He sees your dilemma. And he wants to answer the prayers of his people. She endured. She never stopped having faith. She continued to pray. This is why I consider her a fearless woman who found courage in God. She endured. She never stopped having faith in God. She never did. She didn't use the excuse of her circumstances to delve into her devices. She poured out herself before the Lord, and she prayed. God, I just pray right now for those who are here, for those who are listening online. I pray that you will speak to them and minister to them this morning, Father. Maybe there are some people here this morning who are, they're kind of like Hannah. They've been experiencing some heartache and pain, and it's from circumstances beyond their control. I pray this morning that you will encourage them, that you will strengthen them with your mighty right hand. I pray that they will not lose heart, because if they, and they will not lose heart, and they will not become weary in doing good, because at a proper time, they will reap a harvest if they do not give up. Maybe there are some people here this morning who need to pour out their hearts to the Lord. We know that you respond to the desperation and the prayers of your people. As we sing this song one last time, God, may you receive the glory. May you receive the praise. May you encourage people to press deeper into your presence and to pour themselves out.